and welcome to the Trash Tapes Podcast as part of the Enigmatic Productions Network. If you love bad cinema and incredible deep dives into cult film, then you have come to the right place. So if you like what you hear and want to support us, you can do so by donating some funds to our Buy Me a Coffee website, along with the Acast supporter feature. All of these can be found in the description below. And now, on with the show.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right, we're recording.
All right, let's see. Right. I have a bit of a sore throat, as you can see, a little bit, so I have to... There we go. I have to make sure that I my voice is sexy smooth. You know, one of those. Welcome to the Trash Tapes.
Nice.
Nice. No, oh, my God. Should we one day just do something like a Trash Tapes, like, After Dark? Where it's just sort of us just being, like... So, this is where we can talk about porn or something. Just go, like, and now... It's like, now as you slowly take off your top. Sensual. And there goes the goo.
Remember, like, on Alan Partridge did, like, that segment of his show, and it's like... Welcome to Alan's Deep Bath.
Yes!
Because like, and it had, like, a sound effect of like, a bath being poured out, and then it had, like, Alan's Deep Bath, like, as a title for it.
That's brilliant. I love it. But that's just something genuine, I thought. Maybe, okay, maybe because it's not legit porn, but we can always do porn parodies. Because you know about porn parodies, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, there's one recently, which I flipped through, and I don't know if I want to watch it, but it's only 10 minutes long, and it's a Lego movie porn.
God's sake. But I definitely think, like, the erotic thriller genre is one we've got to do.
We've got to do more of those, because, you know what, this podcast is actually missing more boobs, because it's a bit of a sausage fest here, man. We need boobs. Right, okay.
One man's trash is another man's treasure. Starring Johann Chappal as the inflictor of pain and Edward Harvey as the victim. From Studio Enigmatic comes The Trash Tapes.
Everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Trash Tapes. When one man's trash is another man's treasure. I am Johann Chappal, the inflictor of pain, and I am joined here by the birthday boy. Well, basically, this is your birthday episode. This is Edward's birthday episode. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
So, for your birthday, you decided to... for your birthday, I said, pick the movie. You pick the film, you know, because I throw weird shit at you all the time. So you might as well you pick the movie.
And I tend to go focus on, like, nostalgia. Like, I'll think of a film from my youth that had I've got a lot of memories about, and kind of, like, it just... Or if it's a horror movie, I'll think of a movie that I saw in a rental shop that kind of freaked me out, and I've, like, always fascinated by it. Mm. So this is what that is what happened this time.
But here's the thing is, the last time you picked a movie was Ghoulies.
Yeah.
Right, because that was my present. That was my present you bought for me. And I'm realising you've got a bit of a trend going with these kind of movies, because this movie always involved things like satanic cults, weird dolls / puppets, bad acting, clearly, all together. I now know your type, basically. Yeah. And so this movie is basically... It's basically a rip-off movie of Child's Play. It is Dolly Dearest...
This is the doll your daddy's going to make in Mexico. And this is the factory where we're going to make her and sew her little dresses. Isn't she beautiful?
May I have one, Daddy?
From the moment they met,
I'm going to love her so much.
It was a fairy tale come true.
Good night, Dolly.
Sweet dreams, Dolly.
But this is where the fairy tale ends and the nightmare begins.
Dolly?
Okay, Dolly Dearest, can we, I'm going to read what exactly what it says on the cover. Right, Dolly Dearest, to Dolly, slaughtering adults is child's play.
Not even holding back on, like, the rip-off aspect. Does it have child's play in your tagline?
It doesn't care. It officially knows what it is. And I love it. At the bottom of the cover, it says, co-starring Rip Torn. Even though he is literally...
It's a selling point.
Apparently, Rip Torn is a selling point. It's been a while to know when you have Rip Torn as the selling point of your movie. You know, that's dated. So,
but
yeah.
The doll on the cover is actually terrifying, especially if you're a child seeing that. So that's why it really freaked me out.
I'll admit one thing about this movie is the doll itself is quite creepy.
Mm.
The facial expressions, even though some of them are a bit hammy, are quite unnerving. And I never knew I had a fear of tiny feet and tiny hands until I watched this movie. Like, whenever the door went...
Yeah, it was creepy.
Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it so much. First of all, let's describe, what the hell is Dolly Dearest? Other than knowing full off the bat that this is a Child's Play ripoff movie.
Mm.
So, it is... Dolly Dearest is a 1991 American black comedy horror film starring Denise Crosby, who, if anyone's a fan of Star Trek, she is Security Chief Tasha Yar. So, yeah. from the first season.
I knew I recognised her, but I couldn't quite place her. But, yeah, that's,
so
that's pretty cool.
So, it's cool for the Trekkies, right? Mm. And obviously, the legend himself, Rip Torn.
When I was thinking back, when I first saw that it had Rip Torn in it, I couldn't remember who he was. I thought it was like a rapper or something, because it sounds like his name sounds like a rapper.
Rip Torn is like saying, I'm gonna rip and tear you down, mother trucker.
And the only reason I thought that is because there was a massive trend in the 90s in horrors to have a rapper in it.
Because hip hop was getting big, and so it's mostly like the late 90s, early noughties, was starring Ice Cube, or his
LL Cool J.
Ja Rule. I was like, what the hell, man? But Rip Torn Rip Torn, as you know, he's a very famous actor, that kind of thing. He's done a lot of roles. He's played a lot of movies in it, but he's one of those characters always to the side. Like, he's never been the lead in a movie.
Yeah.
Right? Although, his name is not actually Rip Torn, right? Which is a shame.
No.
Like, I know that's a stage name, but Rip Torn, what a name. He personally picked Rip Torn. Right? And his name is actually Elmore Raul Torn Julia, Jr. So that's like, okay. That's a cool one. Raul Torn Jr. Wow. So actually, does that mean he's actually part Mexican? And that means that we were trying to be offensive when he was actually Mexican. He's not actually Mexican. Oh, dear.
Could be. Yeah.
He's from Texas. So he knows a bit of Spanish. Yeah. I think. I hope. Because we'll talk about it further on the movie, but he's not really a Mexican, but he's playing a Mexican. I'm going to read the back cover. Yeah. I love, because we actually got this on VHS. I'm more fascinated. I always love when we go on VHS, because the artwork and all the things just seem so much better on some of these.
Yeah. I mean, I've started collecting VHSs now, but I'm trying to, like, get a mixture of classic movies, movies that everyone remembers, but also very rare movies that you could probably only get on VHS, and that's what my collection is going to comprise of.
So there's good we got this on VHS. This is the plot of the back. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, one thing very quickly is to actually mention this movie was supposed to be direct to video, but it actually got a limited theatre release in Midwest.
Yeah.
So it actually had, this actually did have a cinema release, even though it was never meant to be a cinema release.
Oh, because I always thought of it as a straight to video, but I suppose that's because it was in the UK. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think this is the sort of thing that's interesting. It's like there are some movies out there that that are designed primarily to go straight to DVD or straight to video, but somehow magically get a cinema release, and then people panic because, like, why are you paying good money to see in the cinema? It's like, well, it wasn't their idea. Someone decides that, you know what, this is good to put in the cinemas for a while.
Yeah.
So,
and now the equivalent of this is straight to streaming, isn't it? Right?
Yeah. But some of the movies straight to streaming are really good.
Mm.
You know, like, you know, Netflix throw some great movies in there and some.
Well,
no,
but some of them aren't great, but some of them look like a million bucks. Like they look like they very expensive movies, but they're not great.
Yeah,
there's mediocre expensive movies that go on Netflix.
They just look a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's the problem, is like, what would you rather have? Something that's mediocre, or something that's generally really good, or something really rubbish? I think the worst kind of movies are the movies that are just, it's aight. Because then you watch it, you're not going to watch it again. You're like, that's all right. If it was a really bad movie and you enjoyed it, you definitely watch it again.
Yeah.
If it's a really good movie, you definitely watch it again. So being mediocre is a bit.
Yeah, I'm not keen on these big, expensive looking movies that just play it safe. It's boring. You know?
It is a bit boring, isn't it? Okay.
I don't think it deserves the criticism it got. It really got brutally panned.
It did, and I'm going to throw you some of these reviews. So, for example, critical reception for Dolly Dearest was mostly negative, okay? With DVD Verdict writing, aside from some handful of fun moments, there is nothing much here to separate from the bajillion lineups of Child's Play clones that were dwelling among them, right? So there were loads of these. Like, there was loads of these kind of rip-off movies. So all the Chucky movies, obviously, all the sequels of those. You then have things like Dolls is another one. Demonic Toys was another one. Loads of these sort of rip-off killer toy movies.
Yeah.
Right? Other ones, Variety praised some of the performances, but criticised the movie's klutzy dialogue. And DVD Talk, this is my favourite one, okay? DVD Talk panned the film, saying, in the killer doll movie subgenre of stupid horror movie flicks, which is, that's a really hard sentence to say, Dolly Dearest may very well be the most moronic.
See what I mean? It's like, I think it's a big bit harsh at times, because, yeah, it's not perfect,
yeah,
but it's not really, really shit either.
This is the thing, like, the script itself has always had a little bit of clunky problems without the movie. And this is a part of the research, and one goes, like, who is the person who wrote it? And it's this woman called Maria Lise, right? Now, Maria Lise, I'm not going to lie, I'm looking at personal details and stuff like that. There's very, very little known about her.
Yeah.
To the point that she's a bit of a mystery. Okay? She's known by many names. Look at this, I'm showing this to you now.
Yeah.
She is known on IMDb by 13 different names throughout her entire career. So she's known as Jack Williams, Jonah Williams, Jennifer Ray, Lisa Mace, Marie Luce, Marion Lester, Marie Leonard, Marie Lise Cady, Barbara Kent, Ray Hamilton, Mario Graves, Lita Coleman, Maria Caddy. Oh my God, almighty.
So she's just trying loads to see what sticks, kind of thing.
I don't know. This is the thing. She also directed this movie, right?
Yeah.
This movie. She wrote the movie. And the thing that baffles me is I'm looking at her career afterwards, and she hasn't really done a lot of note. But what she has done, though, is baffling. She's been an actress for like 22 different movies, but most of them are like sleazy movies from the, like, sleazy sort of sexy pinup movies from like the 1960s and 70s.
Was
like
Dracula versus Frankenstein.
Dracula versus Frankenstein. 1 Million AC/DC. Love Camp number 7. You know,
these sound like other episodes of Trash Tapes.
The Sexy Chicago Kid, you know, The Kiss Off, and my personal favourite, Vibrations and Fluctuations with Submission.
Excellent.
That is What the hell, man? All of the sins of Sodom. Christ. And that's her acting career. Then she suddenly disappears for a while and then starts directing right afterwards in 1978. But they're all kind of, again, look like saucy movies, but yes. They're all under different director names. So Soft Places, written by Ray Hamilton, or Expensive Tastes by Jennifer Ray, or Blue Girl, or Little Girls Blue by Joanne Williams. You can see where I'm coming from. So it's a little... We don't know how she got to Dolly Dearest out of this.
I mean, is Maria Lise, do you think that's her real name?
I'm going to say so.
Yeah. But how would you know?
Don't know. She's a mystery wrapped in enigma. It doesn't even actually say where she's from.
No.
Not at all. The only thing that says is that she had a husband called Daniel Caddy, who seemed to be a producer for most of her movies in the 70s. Other than that, though... absolutely nothing. And then Dolly Dearest was the end of it, and then pretty much that's it. She just fell off the face of the earth. Like, she's fallen off the face of the planet. Yeah. I don't even know if she's alive!
No. When was her last credit?
Her last credit was a TV show that she did. She directed 4 episodes on in 1993.
Oh, right, okay.
Then never seen again. So this is an interesting thing.
She probably just went on to have a normal life.
After making Dolly Dearest. I don't know if you can have a normal life after making Dolly Dearest.
Well, it's like the woman who played Newt in Aliens just went on to be a teacher. Just like, didn't stay in the film industry.
So. Yeah, that's true. Like, you can't escape from it. Mm. Especially since no one knows even how she looks like. There's not even a picture.
Yeah.
Oh, good grief. So, yeah, you can't disappear off the face of the earth, I think. So let's go and break down the plot. Now, the plot, there's a lot happening in this movie, so bear with me. Dolly Dearest. Centuries ago, members of an ancient cult were buried alive in a mass grave in Mexico. All right, so you don't think Kill a Doll movie right away.
No.
Okay. Legend claims their spirits are trapped beneath the earth, waiting to unleash their evil upon the world. When did the... What? Okay. All right. Ooh, this is something interesting before I throw quickly. There is a typo already in the back.
Okay.
The reason why is because in the movie, the family is the Wade family, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? In most of the advertisements, they're written as Red or Reed.
Okay.
So Elliot Reed. That's what it says in the back here. Elliot Reed.
Yeah.
That's terrible. It's Wade. Okay, so Elliot Wade moves his family to Mexico to start a new life making dolls. That doesn't... You know, it's like, I'm going to go to Mexico and make dolls for a living.
Yeah, well, it's because he thinks there's a famous factory there that he can work in, isn't it?
Well, it's famous now because it's built right next to a bloody burial site, okay? Unaware that an archaeologist has discovered the burial site close to his doll factory. Like... people need to know where they're putting their real estate, man. Like, they really need to know, okay? 7-year-old Jessica is drawn to one of the factory dolls as it begins to control her and take over her soul, killing everyone who comes between them. Wow. There's gang in there. A horrifying nightmare ensues as every doll in the factory is possessed by the terrifying forces of evil, which has lain dormant for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Quite a good little synopsis.
Okay. I just seem to not be able to find the temple. Why? Okay. Do you know what this instantly reminds me of? The opening of fucking The Fifth Element of all things. When they're in the temples, like, we need to find a way to open this door. So, this is not what I'm expecting.
Yeah, there's a lot of surprises in this movie, to be honest. Mm. Here we go.
That door just fucking locked it.
Got like a light beam curse coming out.
Oh my god. That looks so cheap. That's like the cheapest version of like the Evil Dead camera I've ever seen.
Like a galloping curse.
Dolly, dearest.
Quite pleasant music.
Still a bit moody, though. It's like that weird, like, 80s, this is kind of cool music, but really, like, deep down inside, it's just fucking nasty.
The music's actually really cool because it's by Mark Snow, you know, the guy who did the X-Files.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's cool.
So it's that sometimes in the movie, the music sounds a bit like X-Files.
So would that mean then the Mulder and Scully would just walk in at some point?
Yeah, I love the way the movie opens.
Yes!
So it's like fucking Indiana Jones or something.
It literally starts off with the archaeologist,
yeah,
like, going into a tomb and blasting the door open. But what I found really funny is how the door was opening. So you got this guy in the full, like, full garb, like, literally the most stereotypical archaeologist outfit.
Yeah.
And he goes in and opens up this temple. But I love how he opens it. He got the rope trying to pull it up. And the first thing that came to my head as he's reading the hieroglyphics... Is the opening to Fifth Element was the first thing that came into my head.
But why is he on his own? Like,
yeah!
There's normally a team of archaeologists, like lots of people helping them, doing little jobs. Yeah. He's on his own, just opening a tomb.
As, and again, if you've seen enough adventure movies, never go and search a tomb on your own. There's going to be mummies and shit. Like, don't go on your own.
I think Lara Croft is the only one that does it on by herself. That everyone else would have a massive team with them.
Yeah, do you know why Lara Croft does it on her own? Because she's got pistols. That's the thing.
Yeah.
She's got a dual pistols with infinite ammo. That's why.
And you, Rip Torn, had a pistol.
That came out of nowhere. We'll talk about that in a minute. So, you have this sort of weird-ass temple thing, and the guy opens it. Eventually, the world starts to shake, and then as he goes in closer, because he can feel, like, a vibration, and the door flies right into his face and crushes him.
Yeah. That's such a, like, a lame death that it's almost forgettable. I forgot that he died. Like.
But he died. I remember, because the door flies open like it was paper.
Yeah.
It's like, pew, and then crushes. And then the earth falls on top of him, crushes. And then the spirit of whatever's in the temple escapes, which is this really rubbish sort of like painted, animated, squiggly red lines.
Yeah.
That escapes.
That gallops in an Evil Dead camera work style.
Yeah.
Towards the house.
Yeah, it goes towards the house or the factory it is and goes into a gap and then disappears and starts laughing, going, That's the first few minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
And again, nothing insinuates Killer Doll yet.
Oh, also, the red squiggly lines, they form the title, which is...
Yes,
like,
they do!
This Rectimus thought, this is going to be cool. The squiggly lines are going to make Dolly Dearest in bright red.
Dolly Dearest. Well, then we're cut to the airport on a plane, I believe. And we're hearing a lot of Spanish because we realise they're going to be in Mexico, right? They're flying to Mexico. So this is where we introduce the family members.
Yeah.
And can I honestly say, I do not like any of them.
Really?
I don't really like any of them. I'm not saying, like, as actors. I'm saying as characters. Because I find all of them, to some capacity, to be either too stupid or too bitchy.
I like the little girl.
Yeah. Okay, the little girl's good.
Yeah.
But that's because she's supposed to be demonic. But the way she's demonic just sounds like a sassy bitch.
I think that's why I like her. She's got a lot of sass.
Yeah, it's like, this is coming out of a six-year-old? What the hell, man?
Right,
the father I don't like, because I think the father is probably, out of all of them, the worst actor.
Yeah, the mum and the dad are quite bland characters, aren't they?
Yeah. So you have Elliot, that's the father, played by Sam Bottoms. And
Sam Bottoms, what a name.
What a name. But he's another famous bit character, because he was in stuff like in Apocalypse Now and stuff. But he's famous for, like, bit parts, like, you don't remember.
Yeah.
With a name like Sam Bottoms, you're not going to headline a movie, aren't you?
He needs a name like fucking Rip Torn.
Change Bottoms, you know?
The brother just looks like every 90s movie brother. Like, every 90s movie had a little brother look like that.
Yeah.
Did you say something to me?
Oh.
No, that was a stewardess. Where
was
there?
Oh, with the glasses and the nerdiness he's reading. Why bad things happen to good kids? What the hell? What is this kid?
And the results? Magnificent.
Oh, yes. You told me.
Oh, yes. You told me.
Oh, no. Of course. Her face hasn't changed.
William Shatner.
I realised that my face has not changed. the entirety of the sequence.
So you've got the every 90s movie brother, every 90s movie mother. She's a bit like a 90s, stereotypical 90s movie mother.
Yeah, a little bit, you know. It, you know, before Alanis Morissette became a thing. Oh, here we go. Wow!
Very sass.
Why did you push Camilla? I saw you.
I'm gonna say something, right? This demon or whatever it is got is all just bitch levels up to here. RuPaul would be upset.
Whatever it was you said to Camilla.
I'm sorry, Mommy. It's just that Dolly's the only friend I have, and I don't want to lose her.
She...
Can I stay for just a little while? I'll leave the door open. I love you, Mommy.
That all that was so insincere. Oh, my God, I would have not tolerated this. Either that or she's the worst actress ever.
Mommy, I am.
I am okay.
No, I think she's actually quite good because that's deliberately creepy and insincere, isn't it? Like...
Yeah, and she gives good evils.
Mr. Wade, you join me in a burrito?
Oh, sounds good, Luis, but no thanks. I'm gonna be getting out of here soon.
I tell you, this is why I like having certain movies on VHS, and I still think that VHS is great to watch because it aids the film sometimes, because this looks even more nostalgic and brilliant on VHS. I don't think it would be great. If just imagine watching this movie on Blu-ray, it wouldn't be the same.
If I saw this on Blu-ray, I wouldn't be on board with this at all. I mean, I already hate half the characters anyway.
So he and his whole family are on a plane, right? And the first thing I'm introduced to is the son or the brother.
And what is he reading again?
He's reading a book that says, "Why do bad things happen to good kids?" In fact, the entire movie,
clue of the plot, isn't it?
Like... Yeah. Why do bad things happen to good kids? If it's a weird thing, like, I think he's supposed to be like a 12-year-old or 10 or 12-year-old, more like a 12-year-old, I think, who is like the smarter, nerdier, sort of more on the ball kid. But I hate that because as the movie goes on, he acts like this sleazy 1980s stockbroker kind of guy. Yeah. It's almost a little bit like American Psycho kind of flipping Christian Bale, but in miniature form.
Yeah.
He is like greed is good. Like, it's like, oh God, I hated him.
In the 90s especially,
yeah,
that kind of cocky kid was very popular and people like that kind of character.
The cocky sort of, I'm kind of an adult, but not an adult kind of kid. But I hated him. Mm. Because there he was with his big glasses and his shirt and his tight up trousers and being sassy and reading like intellectual books. I'm thinking, oh, you're going to be a dick.
He's got the appearance in his haircut, the glasses. It's like every 90s, like, little brother.
Little brother trying to be an adult kind of thing. Like,
he's got the thin-framed, large glasses.
Yeah. And I think from the get-go, I don't like him. And I think it's been stuck with that ever since. Clearly we're in Mexico.
What gave you that idea?
I don't know. Is it the mariachi band?
Senor, wait. Senor, wait.
Senor.
Senor, wait. Bienvenida a México. Senor, wait. Here, all your documents.
Albert, what could I found?
Oh. Oh, that creepy.
Here's Dolly.
Ugh.
Fabulous. Every little girl in the world is going to want one of those.
It's creepy because they're all upskirt shots.
Yeah.
My first sale.
Now, I think the doll is creepier in this than Child's Play. I think that's a creepier doll. It's like it's got its wins on dull points. It's not. I'm not saying it's a better movie than Child's Play at all, but like.
I think what it is with that, it's. I think this that one just looks. Because I think it's more unnerving. Mm. It's a. I think girl dolls just seem dodgier. The history of Mayan civilization.
Very important find. It's even more creepy when it comes alive.
So they all land in Mexico, right? You know, and.
It's like, there's a lot of clues to say that it's Mexico.
Yeah, loads of clues that they're in Mexico. They fly in. What is it with bad movies? Like, this happened as well when we watched Shark Attack 3, where to insinuate Mexico, the first thing you do is play a mariachi band. So they go and they land on the plane, mariachi band, everyone's a stereotype, there's one guy with a sombrero, you know, it's all literally fucking stereotypical bullshit. And they end up being driven to the house where they introduce to the rest of the workers. Like, you have the housekeeper and you have all the stuff and everything else, and nobody mentions, even though there's clearly been signs that the archaeologist was there beforehand, they never mention the archaeologist is mysteriously disappeared.
No.
So nothing of that sort, right? So they all kind of go into the house and get introduced to themselves and everything else, and they go into the factory for the first time.
Yeah.
Which is a dump.
It is. I love the guy that's showing them around, and he's like, I thought it was kept up.
Yeah.
And he goes, we kept everything just as it was.
Language barrier.
And he's like, those business plans you sent to me? Yeah, I copied from American business book.
It's like, say, of course you have. But he realised that he wasn't scammed, because the moment the daughter, Jessica, kind of goes to the back room and finds all these dolls, in perfect condition, really nice-looking dolls, he goes, now I know what this has happened. These are the dolls that's going to make me millions. It's like, really? Okay.
There's that odd line in this scene where he says, the heartthrob of millions of little girls, or something like that. I'm going to be the heartthrob of millions of little girls. Something like that. Because he's saying it, it sounds really odd.
If that is the legit sentence, that is very problematic, and someone should have had that checked.
I think he's talking about the dolls, but it sounds like he's talking about himself.
But the dolls are female, so if it's
a heartthrob is normally like a pin-up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a pin-up, like teenage boy kind of thing.
Yeah.
But nope. They're back to the house, getting things settled and unpacking and so on and so forth.
And they're noticing the house is pretty cool, aren't they? I didn't expect this. And
it's a nice looking house.
Yeah.
Because the factory looks like garbage and just needs a good clean up, really. It basically, that place needs to be Marie Kondo'd properly. Like, properly cleaned up, spruced and tidied, right? Mm. What sparks joy in this place? You know what I mean? So it needs a bit of a good clean up. But then, you know, Jessica now brought one of the dolls in. Because, you know, it's like, oh, I look great, how about that? This is quite literally, like in a snap. Mm. The moment the doll's brought into the house, weird shit happens.
Yeah.
And a lot of weird shit happens in connection to the creepy dollhouse that's outside of the house.
I love the dollhouse.
Yeah.
It's really like a well-made kind of large playhouse that looks like a dollhouse.
Yes.
It's even got interior lighting and all
that. I know! Someone genuinely, this is the thing, is like the person who built it beforehand, right, built this dollhouse. I mean, it has to be. But what I love about it is like they put genuine effort into it. Like you could technically live in it, kinda.
Is it supposed to be the house of the original sort of toy maker?
Like, maybe.
So maybe that's why he's got the dollhouse.
Like, maybe.
Yeah.
That could be the case. But it's still a little, it's still a bit too creepy to have it that well pristine outside of the house, right?
Don't forget to say goodnight to Dolly.
Sweet dreams, darling.
Why put it in the rocking chair? Why have it rocking? You're not helping matters, woman.
Good night, Dolly. You're going to be my new playmate. You're going to be my only playmate.
Oh, that's quite sad.
Oh no!
Dolls are weird.
The doll is creepy. That's what I love about this movie. The doll's great.
Oh, it's weird. Now they enter the dollhouse. Once they enter, they never leave.
It's like epic, that playhouse.
Oh, I mean, it looks awesome, but I would instantly be suspicious because I hate. I don't. Kids shouldn't have such nice things.
Jenny, we're almost ready to go, honey.
Hello? Do you not see the doll in the mirror?
Not anymore.
Ah! I heard tiny footsteps. I hate these things. Dolls are the worst.
Anyone out there?
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So a lot of things happen when Jessica and the doll are sort of interacting. Like, the very first interaction is where, you know, it says, like, you're going to be my best friend. You're going to be my only friend. And it's like, oh, that's so sad. Yeah. She goes to bed. And then literally the doll head goes, rah, just turns and just looks like, oh, we're instantly starting.
Yeah.
Like, we're not even going to do a build-up, like, is the doll possessed? It's like, no, the doll's possessed. Instantly, first 10 minutes.
It's like, the little girl says, like, you're going to be your only friend. And the doll's sort of like, oh, that gives me an idea.
Yeah, it's like a light bulb moment. It's like, dun, 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 right? And then from that point, they just seem to be hanging out a lot, right? But the daughter starts acting a bit weird. Like, the daughter starts hanging around with the doll more, taking her everywhere, hanging out in the dollhouse, but, like, starting to have conversations with it. One of the creepier moments is when it's nighttime, and everyone says, like, where's Jessica? And then sees a light in the dollhouse. And all that she's doing is just sitting there, stroking the doll's hair,
yeah,
and saying, like... And then the mother walks in, sees her, and says, what are you doing here? It's like, I'm just talking to Dolly. Dolly says that we're going to be friends forever.
Yeah, see, all the stuff with the doll, relationship between the doll and the little girl, and the way, very steadily, the girl starts being more like a doll, I think that's great in the movie.
Yes!
I love that stuff.
I think it's really good, that bit. But I think the problem is that throughout the movie... They don't push it enough.
No, and could have made it terrifying.
But yeah, you could have made it really over the top with it.
Looks like she's got the famous Marilyn Monroe dress on, you know, like...
She does.
Better not stand on any air vents.
I was going to say that. Can I just say, I don't get this, right? Do you know when rich women go gardening, right? Because this is what it is, she's gone gardening, because she has the garden gloves, right? Mm. But, whoa! No, that is...
Did you see it somewhere?
That is demonic.
She said she's been waiting for a little girl, just like me.
Oh, does she now?
It hurt?
I completely ruined my train of thought. That, no. Weird Aztec paintings, symbols, no. Something's wrong with your child. Is she just giving Jesus the stink eye?
Jessica?
What
Jessica.
A dick!
What a dick!
I don't know what's gotten into her.
Bit more discipline in your daughter. Go and give her a smack.
She's never had outbursts like this before. It's the sun's here.
The housekeeper and most of the people in the house, the other Mexicans around the house, are starting to notice a little bit, being a bit strange, noticing that the daughter's being a bit strange, and they're all starting to mumble and pray. I love the housekeeper's already got like a shrine ready to pray to, like praying to the Virgin Mary, going like, something's really creepy going on in this house, that kind of thing.
And some priests come to bless the house.
Yes! Oh, that bit's creepy.
Yeah.
Because before that happens, basically is talking to the doll, and Jessica's talking to the doll kind of thing. And the housemaid just go, and literally, out of the blue, out of fucking nowhere, the house is like giving like plate of food. Jessica just chucks the plates over.
Yeah.
Like a bitch.
Really bitchy.
It's like, nah. And then it's like, and then you have the mother going like, Jessica, what are you doing? And then it just speaks in a foreign language and just runs. Mm. And then the Mexicans say, I know this language. Of course you do. All Mexicans know cursed languages, by the sound of things.
Yeah, and it's like, it's Sanzia.
Sanzia. It is a dead language, but it's a curse. It's the language of the devil.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't think I can work here anymore. So I was walking away, like in a panic, starts praying to Jesus. So daughter runs into a dollhouse again, I believe. Runs back into a dollhouse with her. And then the mother goes chasing after her again. And says,
well, doesn't she go to the maid? First of all, she's blaming the maid for the child's behaviour because she's thinking she's got it all off her, like the religious kind of stuff.
Yeah, but it's like, no, it's only a thing. But even still, though, that's still more the daughter just being a brat anyway. Like, it's like, why did you do that? What the hell? So she goes over to the dollhouse again, and she opens up the door, and the daughter goes, what do you want? What's that?
It's like she's like propelled forward a few years, and she's like angry teenager.
What do you want, Mom? Here I am just doing stuff with this, Mom. Oh, it is also a bit where it's like, what have you done to your hair? I think that's later on.
Yeah.
Because what have you done to your hair? It's like, I had a haircut. I'm going to look like Dolly. I was like, ugh.
Well, the funny thing is, she has got doll-like hair, but the doll hair that she's got isn't like Dolly Dearest.
Exactly. In fact, her hair was more like Dolly Dearest before the haircut.
Yeah.
Than it was after the haircut.
Yeah, it would have been great if she had cut hair and her hair was exactly like Dolly Dearest, but it isn't. So that's another thing where it's not quite right. It's trying things, but it's not quite pulling it off.
When, after that incident with the housemaid, the priest comes and blesses the house.
Mm.
And I'm just going to bless the house. And it's the thing. She's in the car from quite a distance away. And the priest is going, hum this, and bless this house, not Temple of Doom. But, it's like, I did, Santa Maria, Santa Maria, school, whatever it is, right? And just putting holy water around the house.
Yeah.
And then she just starts wailing in the back of the car, going, it burns! It burns me! Wow! Okay, so clearly there is some link there, but not full-blown, like, creepy possession.
Yeah. So you got someone blessing the house.
Blessed the house. Why is she reacting all nervous?
Well, there's a bit of an Exorcist influence because it's like the doll, instead of like in Chucky, in Child's Play, the doll's kind of just influencing the kid in a subtle way, like psychologically, but the doll's trying to possess her in this.
I'm thinking, are we saying this is a combination of not really Exorcist? Are we going to get Omen vibes with this, where it's like creepy child?
Mm.
Thing.
Yeah, Omen, yeah.
What is the priest doing here? I called the priest to bless the house in custom.
Oh my god, blessing this house! It burns me, Sal!
Evils.
Oh my god. Getting evils from an 8-year-old is terrifying.
Jessica goes to bed. the doll mysteriously disappears. I love this bit because this is creepy. Never put a doll in a rocking chair, right? It's fucking creepy as it is. Don't put it on a rocking chair. So the mother, so it's like rocking, the doll's rocking like thing, and then suddenly, you know, Jessica gets up from bed and then the doll disappears, right? And while this is a weird, this is actually a genuinely creepy sequence.
Yeah.
Because we're introduced to, like, running feet and, like, tiny, tiny feet!
I mean, that's something that was from... That's directly from Child's Play.
100%.
Yeah.
That the,
before you get the big reveal of Chucky, you see just a little...
Yeah. But it made me both laugh and really creeped out.
Mm.
Because it's like... Ee! It's really creepy. But this is the thing. This, the doll... the dolls actually play, you know, doll had a doll double, which is actually sort of played by several, by some famous people. But it's done by Ed Gale, who also was the body double for Chucky.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, that's what Ed Gale's career is, just playing doll duplicates. what a career.
I'm the doll guy.
Dolls.
You got a creepy doll? I'm your man.
I'm your man. What a thing to put on the resume. So you see Ed dressed in tiny little girl shoes going...
I mean, that's scarier.
That is scarier and creepy as.
This little man in a doll's dress.
Dolly's off.
That was quick.
Dolly?
She's like, just nipping out for a fag.
What? God, a doll be alone in peace.
Good grief.
Dolly, where are you? Dolly?
Dolly's not your friend. Dolly's playing hide and seek with a butcher knife hanging from the ceiling, waiting to strike. The feet! The feet are really funny! Babe, I know you're young, but you should also not be that dumb. If you think the doll's left, then there's something wrong with it, and you should not try and chase it down.
I don't know how the mind works when you're that age. I don't know whether you'd think it was exciting and kind of you wouldn't take it... You wouldn't think, oh, that can't happen. You wouldn't think about it logically, I don't know.
That's true. But I'm just thinking just, oh, there.
Of course going in the dollhouse.
Of course it is. But here's the thing, right? If you were seven, right, and suddenly your action men all came to life at once, would you think it was awesome, or would you think it was the most terrifying thing you've ever seen?
I think I would be scared by it, yeah.
Yeah.
I said this to you what during the commentary, but would you be more curious or more creeped out? Because as a child, if you knew your toy was alive, would you be like, oh, wow, my toy's alive? Or would you be like, holy shit, my toy's alive, run!
I think it depends what kind of a kid you are, because when I was little, I had a lot of imaginary friends.
Yeah.
And one was called Silly Bill, and he lived around the side of the house.
Yeah.
And I used to talk and play with Silly Bill, and like, I think if you're that kind of kid, you've got that kind of creative mind in a way. I think if your doll became alive, I think you would treat it like an imaginary friend.
Like, yes, it's like, yeah. So maybe that's what's happening with her. It's like saying, it's imaginary friend, say hi, Dolly. It's like a physical sort of form of imaginary friend.
Yeah,
because I think when I was a kid, I actually do not remember if I had imaginary friends, but I did have a lot of cuddly toys, and I used to talk to the cuddly toys. There was one cuddly toy which I loved, which was a giant teddy bear, right? And when you hugged it, a tiny heart would light up and goes, "I love you." Right, really adorable stuff, right? I used to talk to it and everything else. When I hugged it so hard one time, the head popped off.
Fuck yeah.
I hugged it, and then and this was even terrifying. It goes, I love you. And I was like, ah! Oh, I killed it! Grandma had to go and sew it back together.
It's like, it reminds me of like Lenny from Of Mice and Men. You're like, you're holding a mouse,
it's like, I'm gonna love you, I'm gonna stroke you, I'm gonna kiss you, I'm gonna love you forever and ever and ever. Don't leave me! So, this is what I think generally, if you're in that mindset, maybe, but to me, it just felt a little odd to me that she was so willing just to clearly follow this doll around that's clearly running around. Mm. Because at one point, I'm convinced she sees the doll running into the dollhouse.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm just gonna follow her. When I'm thinking, what the fuck is that? Dolls don't move like that! No!
Yeah, especially as well, because it's happening at night time.
Yes.
I think that would be freaky for a kid. Like, I mean, when I played with my imaginary friend,
yeah,
it was always in the broad daylight, in the daytime and stuff.
Because like, shadows are creepy.
Yeah.
Right? So, this is why loads of kids are scared of the dark. It's not because of, oh, it's dark. Mm. It's more because you don't like shadows.
Yeah.
Shadows can look demonic and scary and weird, right? So, seeing a shadow move in the dark.
Yeah.
Like, ah! No. So, This is the only kind of thing we're... But maybe this is, like, the possession thing more. It's like, come
but
to me.
I think at that point, she's not possessed yet.
She's not fully possessed, but she is more like... But there are moments of sass. This is all before
drawn to it and stuff.
This is
like,
more... Because throughout the time, there were some moments of sass.
Yeah, so it's developing.
Come on, take the brat child away. But Dolly's inside. No.
You sit down, I'll go around the front.
No, Dolly will take over. Oh, no.
I don't think she would leave the kid round the back. He'd just take her with her. But it's, like, deliberately put in to separate them.
Yeah.
Open the door!
Why are all the doors locked? Oh, wait a minute, it's night time! Fucking hell. It's too dark. I cannot see. Need bulb. Oh. Ooh, I've got a bright idea. Oh, they got their eye on her. Oh, sorry.
Locking her in. Maid's gonna get it.
Oh, God. Oh, that's the thing that makes me all weird is the tiny feet, tiny feet! Oh, no, doll's heads. Oh, they're fucking creepy. Dolls are creepy, right? They always found them creepy. Even when I was a kid, I had to put all my dolls away in the closet because if they were sticking out there, I would have been terrified.
Yeah. Like, they always look like staring at you, don't they?
Yeah. And then you're thinking, like, look at you. I can kill you. I can kill you while you sleep, you know. Stop it. Ah! What the hell? That came out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, there's some pretty cool jumps.
The eyeball.
Ha-ha!
Surprise, motherfucker! Oh! What was that?
Well, she doesn't know that.
She doesn't know, we know. That's fucked up. Oh my God, that's dramatic.
Wind!
Fighting with the curtains.
Oh my god, the curtains are taking over. Wind! Holy shit.
Now this is like Omen, this bit.
This is totally creepy children and creepy dolls in the same movie. No, 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 no. Like, you can see, like, she's going towards the dollhouse. Like, slowly going towards the dollhouse. And then the, and just as she, and the thing, you can see the doll's hand opening the door as well.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is fucking creepy, man. Like, I would be, nope, drop this, ain't happening. Nope, too creepy, too much. But then the housemaid stops it.
Yeah.
And right in the nick of time, actually. But she goes like, no, go away. Come on, come here. Mm. Like, drags her out of the dollhouse and into the outside. The locking sequence. Like, so the whole door, the whole house is now suddenly locked.
Yeah.
Which
because it's a bit stormy, isn't it? It's windy, so the door, the back door, blows closed behind them. So she go. The maid says, you wait here. And I'll go around the front. Why is the kid waiting there?
Yeah, this is the thing. Like,
it's just an annoying plot device thing to split them up, isn't it?
That feels like a bad plot device. Because really, she would have taken her everywhere.
Mm.
You know, so that the doll, you know, well, actually, because, you know, you are the housemaid, but you're also, like, what seems to be, like, part nanny as well.
Yeah.
You should keep an eye on the kid, man.
Mm.
The kid's like it's going out alone on a stormy night to a dollhouse that clearly is being lured by some kind of hypnotic possession or something.
Yeah.
Don't leave her alone.
Yeah, so she goes around the front and that's locked.
And so it's like, where do I have to go? She goes to the basement and it's like, okay, so now you're in a basement. She's looking at this place like she's never been there before.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be the housemaid.
Yeah, I suppose like that area is maybe somewhere that they don't go that much because it's a bit neglected, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she goes into the basement, right? And she puts on the light. And it's like, cha-ching! It's like the poor light bulb above her head. And suddenly she knows things are going to move and things are being a bit weird. And that is when Dolly Dearest appears and stabs her in the shoulder with a pair of scissors.
Yeah.
It's like, ha-ha! And this is the thing I want to ask, right? She doesn't technically start talking here, although she does do a little bit of talking throughout the movie before this, but she seems to say a couple of lines to the daughter, but like really mumbly and like in a satanic language.
Yeah.
Now she starts speaking in English.
Mm.
And it's really off-putting.
Yeah.
And a bit weird, because she sounds like a gremlin.
Yeah, it is like Leprechaun.
Yeah. It's like, I'm get you, my pretty. It sounds like a really sort of gremlin sort of tone. Surprise!
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't sound right to me.
It would be much scarier if the doll didn't talk.
Yes.
And it was completely mute, but doing lots of creepy stuff. And shows that she's very smart.
Yes.
A bit, I suppose, like a Michael Myers, but miniature Michael Myers type thing.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, a bit like, you know how, because it's a devil child.
Yes.
A bit how, like, what Michael Myers is like when he's a little boy.
But that's the thing, she literally runs, like, and literally jumps and stabs the housemaid in the shoulder.
Yeah.
And
was this a bit that actually the jump scare genuinely got you?
Yeah, because, like, wah! It's like, where did you come from?
Yeah.
All right, and then so she's stumbling around, and then she's being pushed around by the doll, and then she falls. And I don't know what it is. It feels like she's been slashed open or something, or at least it looked like an uppercut. I'm sorry, because the doll goes whoosh, and goes like Mortal Kombat, flies into a pool of water.
Yeah,
and then Dolly Dearest froze a light bulb in it.
I'm not quite sure why there is a big sort of
pool of water in the basement. No. I don't know what that is for. Don't know. She falls in a bath of water and then gets electrocuted.
Yeah.
But I do like how she gets electrocuted, though, because she does look like she's like a flopping fish.
Mm.
Like... And then just becomes a floater.
Yeah. Well, no, she sinks, isn't she?
Yeah, but she's like this, and just goes...
Yeah.
It's funny, though, because, you know, I always kind of funny how in movies, how people play electrocuted.
Yeah.
Because, obviously... When someone's actually electrocuted, they don't usually, like, vibrate or, like, crazy. They kind of just say, like, and then just fly off most of the time, right? But this was like, oh, no, I'm electrocuted. Oh, dear, I'm electrocuted. Yeah. Oh, no.
I think it would be, if it was in water,
yeah.
I think it would be more, like, rigid and kind of, like, vibrating.
Rigid and sparking eyes. Yeah. I would love it. Like, I think you have to go... this is the thing. I think it could have been gorier, more nasty that day.
Yeah.
Like, I think her eyes should have just popped up or something like that.
Yeah, because she's a bit too flappy, isn't she? Like?
Flappy hands.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like someone learning to swim.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. This is the thing, like, where's everybody else? The mother's out somewhere, and the father's in the factory, and the brother is just in his room, chilling. With his headphones on, reading another stupid book. I was like, what the hell, man? I hate this kid. And so they find... And then eventually they find Jessica, with the door wide open for the back, suddenly opened, wind blazing, and stuff like that. Because I love this bit, because they're trying to find Jessica. It's like, where's Jessica? Where is Jessica? And then as they're running around, like, glass, like, breaks through, and, like, she has a moment fighting against a curtain, and it's just like, oh, no, I need to find her. What's happening? And then finally they see her, Jessica.
Yeah.
In full demon mode by this point.
Yeah.
Drenched in water from the rain, with Dolly Dearest standing right next to her, just staring soulless.
Yeah, it's a really creepy moment, I think.
And no interaction from this point onwards. Because she gives that kid gives an amazing death glare.
Mm.
Just staring, like, into your soul. Like, she's about to laser beams. And so, and there's a moment where it says, like, are you all right? Are you okay? And she just, like, turns her head, like, almost towards the audience and just stares for a while.
Yeah.
It's like... Ooh, you're creepy. Creepy children are definitely...
Yeah, definitely the best actor, the little actor.
Because she's total sass.
Really good, yeah.
Professor Nesmi, come on. Photos from Apollo have arrived.
At last.
That's Riptorn.
Riptorn! Is he just a regular... Is he an American, or is he supposed to be a... Or is he supposed to be a Mexican?
Think? Could this be the two?
American, I think.
I'm not sure. Have you ever seen the symbol before? No, sir.
Oh, look.
I'm certain it's not mine.
I don't know. I can't.
Is
he? Has turned the sarcophagus, have they?
Oh, my no, God. Is it Riptorn trying to do a Mexican accent?
Where are you leaving? Bob Larrabee and I were friends for over 30 years. Did you know that?
It sounds a bit off, you know what I mean?
Can't place it.
I'm going to say that he's him trying to do, like, intellectual Mexican. And if that's the case, my God, they had to hire Riptorn for that.
You would have seen her, Elliot. You scared me. You really scared me. There's no reason.
Riptorn gets introduced. Now.
The faux Mexican.
This is the thing. Faux Mexican. Right, I'm going with faux Mexican here. Because we're first introduced because there's pictures from the apparently there's some photos from the archaeological dig.
Mm.
Which confuses us, because it stars the person who is the archaeologist in the photos, but there's nobody else there, clearly.
Mm.
So who the fuck took the photos?
Yeah.
Who the fuck took the photos, man? What the hell? So basically, in the Mexican school of archaeology, right, Riptorn appears as a professor of archaeology, whatever it is, clearly, and looks at photographs saying, ah, yes, this is basically, what's the name of the language again? Zanzia,
yeah.
It's like, this is clearly from the Zanzia. Boy, I haven't heard from him in ages. Right, I am going to go now and go and find him. It sounds like that. Basically, he sounds a little off.
I love the way you put that. Like, I haven't heard from him for ages. I texted him, but he didn't text me back.
Yeah, it's basically that, isn't it? But this is the thing I find funny, right? He is supposed to be a Mexican, yeah?
Yeah.
But he speaks English the entire time.
Yeah. It's like he's not fully committing to the Mexican accent.
And not only is he not fully committing to the Mexican accent, he says a couple of Spanish words here and there.
Yeah.
But when he's also talking to other Mexicans, he's speaking in English with a Mexican accent.
Yeah.
And so it's like, what are you?
He's like...
Learn Spanish, Riptorn!
Yeah, I still can't work out whether he is meant to be Mexican. Like, sort of... well-educated Mexican.
Yes, I'm thinking he's supposed to be a well-educated Mexican.
Yeah.
Or he's an American who has been, who has lived in Mexico for so long, he's picked up a Mexican accent. But then even if you've lived there for so long, you would obviously speak Spanish to the other locals.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
We don't know what he is.
Riptor's a bit shit, basically. So, he then goes to the toy factory and talks to Elliot and talks to the son in particular, right? Because the son is a bastard. Right, I'm now going to have my moment. I'm going to get on my soapbox. Okay. I don't like him at all, right? He's a brat and I don't like him because he finds the archaeological dig now emptied, like no one's there, right?
Yeah.
And just has the gull to start looking around, picking up shit.
Bold as brass,
just picking up shit, gets like the map, the blueprints, starts playing around with the tools, and even goes fucking exploring in a tomb all by himself, like he knows his shit. Fuck off. And when Rip Torn comes in, he literally is me. He's like, what the fuck are you doing here? Yeah, what the fuck are you doing here? That's a dangerous place. You should never go alone. Although this archaeologist didn't fuck. The other previous archaeologist fucking know about never going alone. Because he fucking did it alone, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then Rip Torn does it alone later on. He doesn't learn anything. These archaeologists do not know how to go in packs.
Now, get a team together, for God's sake.
You know, find Manuel and a few other peeps. Just fucking go nuts there.
Son of a bitch!
Hi, you're the archaeologist from the university? Hi, I'm Jimmy Wade. My dad owns the factory there.
Son, the sign up there says no passe. It means this entire area is off limits, so please take a hike.
Okay, but you're gonna need my help when you get down in there.
What a cocky son of a bitch!
See, the top is caved in. The opening's too small. You won't be able to squeeze through.
I'll take my chance.
I'll wait.
I really hate that kid. Oh my god, he deserves a punching. Fucking hell.
It's like, is it just, the whole Rip Torn thing is just a silly name, isn't it? Because they both basically mean the same thing.
Rip and Torn.
It's like being called, like, Dick Cock.
Dick Cock. I love the fact that, you know, out of all this, it's just me saying Rip Torn is what's making you laugh. Not the fact that he has only been in this movie so far for 5 minutes and he's playing a Mexican.
Look, I appreciate your fondness for exploration, but we'll both just have to wait to see what's inside the crypt.
Our crypt?
Hey! Come back.
Rip Torn is the only known actor in this. Everyone else, no one really knows him. Like,
thank God I don't know them. Because I swear, whoever's played that fucking kid will get a smack from me. I think I've just found the headquarters of the Head Shrink Society.
No,
it's...
Never do that again.
Okay. You know,
Go on, Rip Torn. Give him a smack around the ear.
I wanted to be prepared for it.
I really don't like that brat.
University and me only being in seventh grade. I just didn't want you to think that I couldn't handle the job because I can't. I can handle the job.
What job?
Your assistant.
Does your dad's factory have a phone?
Oh, sure, of course. Come on, I'll let you use it.
He's like sleazy 80s stockbroker guy, but like as a 12-year-old.
I'll go get my dad.
Oh, I still want to throw him out a window.
So Rip Torn actually goes to the site of the tomb, and the kid is already playing around there. And you can see, like, the kid's like, oh, you know, I've already discovered this. You know, it's a dead language, clearly. Like, he's done his research and shit. It's like, there's a tomb in there, isn't it?
He's a massive know-it-all, isn't he? He knows everything, and he's only a little, like, what, how old is he? Like, 13 or something?
I hate him. I hate him so much. He also has a very punchable face. I don't want to put so much hatred on this kid.
I didn't have that much hate towards him. I do find him a little bit annoying, but I was laughing.
I was praying.
I was laughing at your reaction to him.
I was praying that he would have been killed by Dolly. I was praying that he would be at least hurt to some capacity.
Yeah.
But nope. So they both go in this time round because he literally grabs a hat and runs in. the cocky son of a bitch. So Riptorn has to follow him.
Mm.
And so they find their way into the tomb, and the front entrance is completely covered by dirt, right? Fully covered by dirt.
Oh, I remember why his like selling point to get him to come in is like, yeah, there's a little gap and you won't be able to get through it. Only I will be able to get through it.
Yeah, he said that. Well, you know, it's like, you can't get through it. And Riptorn's like, I'll take my chances.
Yeah.
I'll take my chances. So, okay. And then, but unfortunately, but you've seen Riptorn. He's a bit of a big bloke.
Yeah.
He couldn't fit in there. So he's kind of reluctant, going, fuck it, kid, go on, get in there. So he's sweeping up the dirt and looks at it. And it looks like this really cheap-ass sort of head shrinker temple with the tiny skulls. It looks like something like, game show? Do you remember that game show from Nickelodeon where there's a bunch of kids running around a temple?
Like the Aztec Zone in Crystal Maze.
Yes! It looks like the Aztec Zone in Crystal Maze. Legends of the Hidden Temple. That's it. It looks like it totally looks like something off the set of the Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah.
It looked quite cheap, and it's like, what do you see in there? It's like, I see skulls and shit. You know, so it doesn't really give much point. And so, it basically, then from that point onwards, you know, Riptorn and his now claimed new assistant, which I love because Riptorn's just ripping on him. It's like, oh, him? Sure. Yeah. Oh, he's totally my assistant. Like, he's giving some shit to the kid. And I'm like, well done.
Riptorn's ripping.
Riptorn has ripped him a new one several times. By that point, we now discover, right, that this ancient underground devil cult had created a goat child.
Mm.
The body of an infant and a head of a goat.
Yeah.
That had to, I love this, had to be, was had to live off the blood of sacrificed children.
Mm.
So metal. And had to feed off the flesh of the evil, and apparently his power was so powerful that it nearly destroyed the entire colony. So they had to kill it and bury it and put him in a tomb to close it off so no one could ever have this again, right?
I mean, because they established the whole goat head thing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it have been cool to, like, in some weird nightmare flashes, to have the doll with the goat head? Like.
Yeah, the doll with the goat head, or Jessica with the goat head.
I think
creepy girl with a goat head.
That kind of stuff would have been awesome.
That's the thing, is like, this is what we've mentioned. This movie's three different things at once.
Yeah.
But doesn't go further enough into it. If we're going satanic cult, we should have totally gone with goat heads and more, and maybe a whole sequence of the satanic ritual being acted out or something. Or it's like,
just imagine like a scene, right? The little girl with a goat head and like blood's running down the walls of the room.
So metal!
That'd be fucking awesome.
That would have been fucking ace.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's what this movie needed. It needed more. Basically, this movie needs more Satan.
What are you doing? I thought that you'd be more comfortable if Dolly slept over there in the chair.
Don't touch her.
Jessica, I'm taking the doll out of the bed, and I don't want to hear another word about it.
I'll kill you! I'll kill you if you try to separate us!
Please,
boy! Whoa, be through with your voice.
Oh, come on, you brat! Neat trick, man.
It's the evil doll.
Calm down.
Oh my god.
Of course, Daddy sees the innocent little girl.
How? You walked in the room when it went like.
Jimmy, go to your room.
She said she'd kill me. If you'd heard
her
voice down there, you'd She's changing. It's
puberty's hit her really hard.
It's really early as well. It's only about six.
I know, right?
Don't you see it?
I'm tired. I'm hungry. It's the middle of the night.
I need a burrito. Right, God damn it! Woman, make me a sandwich.
The dad in this bugs me. I think he's probably the worst actor in the film. He's just like not very convincing. He's just there's. I mean, I won't spoil it. There's bits like later where he reacts stupidly to situations, and it's like, you shit, mate. You're really shit.
I think everyone here's a bit shit.
Yeah.
Like, But I mean, like, not by acting entirely, like, by character.
Mm.
I hate the brother. The sister is the only good bit, but when she's so insincere, I just want to fucking throw her out a window. The dad's not really that caring, and the only one's the mother, but the mother can't act.
Mm.
The mother is going bonkers, convinced that the doll is totally influencing their child.
Yeah.
Like, there's a sequence where the mother goes up to the bedroom where, and it's the first time it's like, oh, we're going to some crazy demonic shit, which is awesome. Like, possessed child thing.
Yeah.
Where the mother's gone to the bedroom and says, like, and it's like, what are you doing, Jessica? You know, Jessica's is like, what are you doing? It's like, wouldn't it be okay if I can just... It's like, you need to sleep properly, hun. Let me move Dolly out of the room and you can sleep properly. And she's like, no, no. And then she goes, no, you bitch. No, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And it's like, whoa.
You sounded like the honey monster.
Cookie. Honestly, that was like, whoa, that's awesome, right? And this is the thing that's really sort of shitty, right? The kid walks in knowing this and goes, whoa. It's like, whoa, cool voice change, man.
He's just so 90s.
I hate him so much. That's not the right time for your sass, sir.
Yeah, but the thing is, later on, the little boy gets the hero shot, doesn't he?
Yes, he does! I fucking hate him for it! What a dick! Hate him. So the mother is now getting, like, she's going off a rocker, but she's genuinely convinced that something's up with the doll, right? And so she's starting to hear all the nonsense that Rip Torn's talking to the father about, you know, like, it's the Sansa, you know, Sansia, it's the devil language and all this kind of stuff. So now she's putting two and two together, because she's literally, at one point, I love the line, she's like, I don't know, I'm just trying to make sense of all this. Like, we're also trying to make sense of this too, hun. Yeah. You know, it's like, you're in our heads. So she then goes to Rip Torn and says, like, what is this? Like, let me figure it out. And starts talking about these things, about religion, and you know, and this is sort of supposed to be like, you know, the exorcist sequence.
Yeah.
It's like saying, how do you go about getting an exorcism kind of thing? It's more like, how do I go about trying to prove that this doll's, like, fucking demon, like, you know, the devil and shit. So has a conversation, and Rip Torn, I think Rip Torn and her go to a nunnery, but it just jumps.
It's like the maid was talking about her sister that was a nun.
Who happened... Yeah, so, a sister who happens to be a sister.
I don't think I don't think she goes to see her sister, though. Oh, no, she does, yeah.
She does.
That is her sister, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
yeah. So but, that's the connection. That's why she goes there, yeah.
But it's really bizarre.
Mm.
The nun's just sitting there going, like, it's too late now. You just gotta pray. Just pray. Pray your losses, man. You know, she's gone. Doll's gone. We're all doomed. Motherfucker.
And she's just trying to get some, like, information from her, like, to say, like, well, could the devil be a doll? And she's just like, well, it takes many forms. Just, like, general
chit-chat. So vague!
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, you are no help. This entire sequence was basically pointless, except for probably one of the best lines in the movie.
What is happening to my daughter? How can I stop it? It's too late. Spirit of the Suns, your devil child has been set free. It's too late. Listen to me. I am not losing my daughter to a goddamn 900-year-old goathead.
That's a sentence. How do you say that with a straight face? 900-year-old
goat. That's probably one of the best lines in the movie, to be honest.
I am not going to lose my daughter to a 900-year-old goat head. What a sentence.
There'll be no end to its reign of fear.
Hello, Rip Torn. Bye, Rip Torn.
Why did he didn't need to be there?
I don't know.
Ignorant to believe that Malarkey's insanity.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is. I have a husband who thinks it's insanity, and I'm inclined to agree with him. But I have a daughter at home who's being controlled by a fucking doll. Now you tell me what the hell that is.
An overactive imagination. Or djinn.
Yeah, the music's a bit random in terms... I mean, I do like the music, but in terms of the placement of the music...
It's
weird, because there's scenes where there's no fucking music and it seems like there should be.
And then there's scenes where there's too much music.
Yeah.
Oh, she's doing that slow motion thing again. I can't. This mother does not know how to open doors. Like, I'm convinced. Like, doors are, like, foreign to her.
Are you in there?
She doesn't know if it's a pull or a push.
It almost seems like when she goes through the door, it's like a Resident Evil loading screen. Like...
Christ. Mommy got a shotgun and she's ready to blow him away. Yes. Maybe that's something I like with movies like this. I love, like, when mommy's got a shotgun. Because that's just instantly cooler, like, than it should be. Suddenly, look at the sound of the drums going.
Fucking Phil Collins. Phil Collins' epileptic fit.
Oh my god. Oh, hello.
Honey, we're going for a ride.
It's a doll. Just kick it.
Let's play with mommy.
Oh. Oh no.
Play with this, bitch.
Yeah.
What?
Play with this, bitch.
I just find it more funny the doll fucking flew through the fucking door. What the hell, man?
Goes in, finally, the doll that suddenly appears at the front door and goes, You're not gonna get me this time. Ah! And it's like, Jessica, go! And like, literally summons Jessica to go and starts biting on the mother's neck and starts going, nom, 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 like a gremlin. And I. Okay, because I don't like the kid, I'm really fucking annoyed that this happened.
Yeah.
But obviously, the mum dropped a shotgun. And so the kid. Gets the shotgun.
He picks it up for a bit, and he's kind of fumbling around for a bit. He's kind of realizing how to use it for a moment.
Yeah, because it shoots the one bullet up in the ceiling.
Yeah.
Which is really bad fucking aim. And then aims it, uses the shotgun, blows the doll away. The doll goes flying through the door.
Yeah.
And leaves, like, a doll, like, outline print.
Kind of thing. It makes a perfectly, like, sort of a perfect hole in the wood. Like.
Perfect. It's like the visual effects of that one was ridiculous. Now this is the time where the father escapes, right? So the father sort of escapes. Is going like, oh, it's like close. If the father escapes the place because he needs to go back to the house because he knows about all this weird stuff's going on.
Oh, he leaves the caretaker,
the caretaker of the place on his own.
Yeah.
Where he has a weird moment because he feels because he's playing around with the dolls a bit.
Mm.
A bit flirtatiously, to my liking.
Yeah. He's like he's cooking a burrito and he's sort of like dancing around and he's sort of
drinking tequila.
Yeah, and he's sort of flirting with the doll. He's put a doll on the counter, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And he's kind of like being flirtatious with the doll. It's weird because if the doll was alive, it'd be a little girl.
It's right? Like, then realise the other dolls are alive because the other dolls are like running around. They distract him. And then suddenly, just one of them pops out of the box and goes, surprise!
And then he's like actually shitting himself at that point.
Oh no, two dolls, three dolls. And one literally throws his hand into a sewing machine.
Yeah.
And it's kind of gross, actually. To be honest, that's the grossest looking sort of death in the whole movie.
It's very, makes you very squeamish. It's like you can look at it again.
Line drive.
You did not see that. You're also a little drunk on the tequila.
This bit's kind of weird because he's kind of like flirting with the doll.
Oh. I heard some tap dancing shoes.
I'll be right back.
Hold my dance for later. Keep an eye on my tortilla. Fuck!
Fucking cat jump scares. They were like, it's a,
they're the worst. I hate those. Finally, some more killer doll action. And they're just twitching. Surprise! Oh my god. Oh! 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 Oh god! Oh, just. Oh, fucking just rip it! Ah! Oh my god, what's happening? Heart attack?
Yeah. You need to see his bare open chest.
Oh my god, it's pumping! That is so weird! What was that? Lazy eye, that one. It's like, bye. What the hell?
I love, like, the animatronic doll. Like, there's, like, different levels of the doll being animated. But, like, the in-between one... like that you just saw.
It's just a bit lazy.
She's kind of like smirking. Or she's like kind of going, I got you, bitch.
Hello.
Mysteriously dies of a heart attack.
With his heart really sort of coming out of his chest.
It looks like made out of plasticine. It looks so weird and like...
Yeah, you see a big pulsating on his chest.
Yeah.
But what was weird was the fact that because they wanted to show that effect, he starts like stripping his shirt.
Oh no!
He does like a Superman move where he kind of opens his shirt.
Yes! And it makes me think, like, what's a heart attack? It's the heart attack from demonic possession. That's what I thought at the beginning. It's like, oh, wait a minute. What if he's now possessed? Like, whoa! Okay, that would be terrified, but no.
No, it's just the fact that he's so scared and then gets attacked by the sewing machine and then, like, I think he just has a heart attack from fear and, like...
There you go.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. But we're introduced to some weird stuff, like the doll's running around, the doll's clearly trying to kill him, and there's a head...
Doll head.
The doll head.
Just a severed head. Well, not severed head, but just a head on its own, like on a stick or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he walks past it, and a long tongue comes out of the mouth, flapping around.
It's like a lizard tongue, isn't it? Yeah. And it literally goes... And it's, again, never introduced in the movie again. Like, do all the other dolls have this? Do all the other dolls have killer tongues? That would have been badass.
It's a really funny, weird moment.
Oh, what have you unleashed, Riptorn?
Oh, my God, it's true.
It is true.
What have I done?
The devil child.
The 900-year-old goat head. What is this monster? What is this stupidity? No, it's going into the goop.
So many evil giggles going on.
Oh no. Ooh, daddy's gonna get dipped. Don't put him into the dip!
What are we next?
Oh no. Fight the Riptorn! I have to kill the power. You need to kill the power. We've got it now. Well done.
Oh my God.
you throwing like cartoon dynamite all over the place? Oh, okay, it's just the knee. For 1 second, I swear to God, I thought he hit him in the nuts.
He missed his line, where it was sort of really underwhelming line. I'll just rewind it a little bit.
All right, go. We have to go back then. I'm sorry, I was just so just. It genuinely looked like the doll's gonna stab him in the nuts, and just totally missed that.
Right, watch this.
Go.
Watch the dad's reaction. It's great.
Bastards. What?
He stabbed in the leg, and he just goes, "Oh, you bastard!
Oh, you bastard! Ah, oh, no." So by this point, the son finds the dead caretaker, and so by this point, runs with the dad and so on, and the dad goes, "I'll go investigate." Gets caught up by, gets mobbed by all the dolls, and gets tied up in this really sort of comical manner.
But you've got to mention the bit where he gets stabbed in the leg.
Yes!
With some scissors, and he goes, "You bastards."
Literally like that.
Come on, bottoms, put your bottom into it.
It's more like inconvenience. Like, oh, fuck. Like, what the hell? And it says, and basically it's like, we need to blow this up. We need to blow it all up. And so he goes and gets cartoon dynamite, basically, and starts and trying to blow it all up. But I love how the dolls are trying to, like, take it out.
But it's great, though, because, like, it is, like, very cartoony. One of them picks it up and, like, goes,
Like, oh, yes! It's like they found a missing one. And I love this bit, because it's like, quickly, you gotta get out of here. The crypt's about to... explode!
It seems really... You know when you set the dynamite?
Yes.
It seems really dangerous because they haven't got, like, a long fuse on it. They've just, like, literally got short fuses. And they set it, and they're, like, in the room right next to it.
Yeah, because runs to the other side, walks to the other side of the room, throws another one. Like, basically, they're over-bombarding them with dynamite. The way it ends gives you the impression that that something else is going to happen.
Yeah.
Because it kind of zooms into the remains of this now burnt down factory.
Well, it's the doorway.
Yes.
Yeah, the doorway of the factory. And you just expect the doll to walk through the door.
But I love it if the doll walked through the door, like on fire, holding a knife, going like, "I'm still here, bitches!"
Yeah, I mean, it's just another example of the movie not going that much little bit further.
Yes.
It's like it's setting us something cool up that's like, oh, this is going to be awesome, and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah, and like that's really a kind of anticlimactic.
And I understand possibly the director wanted that to keep it on a cliffhanger so that you talk about it afterwards, so you think like, oh, what, do you think the doll's still alive?
Yeah.
But it's not enough for it to be a big talking point. It's almost frustrating instead.
And I think the movie itself had so much promise if it just stick to one thing.
Yeah.
But it didn't. And I think all the funny bits are great and some of the good bits are great, but I don't think there's enough there that I can properly tell it, like, this is a good, trashy movie to sit down and enjoy properly. I mean, I can watch it again, but it's more like, because I know the good bits now.
Mm.
But as a whole, it's just missing something. It's not giving you the conclusions and the payoffs that you want.
Yeah. I think for me, I think my own nostalgia for the movie kind of clouds my judgment of the movie in general. Because I think if I didn't have that attached to the film, and I didn't remember it at all, and I never heard of it before, and I was seeing it for the first time, like, sort of at this age...
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have the same opinion on it. I think it's just the fact that I remember it from when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
And that is making me like it more than I should, maybe.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's generally the case. It's it's a nostalgia factor for this one, I think. Especially as well, seeing it on VHS. Must have really brought up those memories.
Yeah, but it's also great because I have a fondness... This is one of the reasons why we do this show. I have a fondness for...
bad movies sometimes in terms of like ones, even the ones that don't push it far enough, because there's just sometimes there's so much charm to movies like this. I do find it frustrating that it doesn't push itself, because it's like when we were discussing it, the ideas we were coming up with were great.
Awesome.
So if it just carried it to that level, it could have even even though it's a rip-off movie, people would have taken more notice of it, because it's like, well, actually, yeah, it's took the idea of Child's Play, but it's really got its own identity. But it But because it doesn't push itself that far enough, it doesn't get that respect. Yeah.
So this is the thing that I'm thinking then. Mm. I mean, I don't know if the rights are available for this, but maybe you and I should just... We have some great ideas. I mean, you and I should just fucking do a remake of Dolly Dearest.
Yeah.
Remake of Dolly Dearest. Full-blown gore and Satan.
Thing is, though, I think the only way you could get that distributed is if you presented it to, like, Shudder or something.
Oh, I'd be up for that.
Yeah.
Dolly Dearest, the remake. Oh, I'd be up for that. Right, so that's the end of the episode. Now... We did a rip-off movie this time around, right?
Yeah.
I am quite tempted to do another rip-off movie.
Yeah.
So, something that's a bit more direct, something a little bit more awesome, something a little bit more action-y, and something really peculiar.
Mm.
So, do leave that as a teaser in mind, so keep an eye on your trash, there might be some treasure in there. See you guys next time.
See you guys.
Trash Tapes is a podcast created by Enigmatic Productions. It is hosted and created by Johan Chapul and co-starring Edward Harvey. If you like what you hear, subscribe to the podcast. We are on Spotify, iTunes, Acast, and Buzzsprout. You can also find more information about us on our social media sites. We have Instagram, which is under Enigmatic Productions. We have a Facebook page called under Studio Enigmatic, and we have a Twitter under Enigmatic_UK. For more information on the other kind of products and projects that we're up to, check out our website at www.enigmaticproductions.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode and hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please share it around with movie lovers you know, maybe add a star rating or write a good review. All of this helps with the algorithm and provides us with more opportunities to reach the ears to a whole new bunch of bad film fanatics. Want to find out more about us? Then head over to our socials where we provide sneak peeks and up-to-date news on everything nostalgic and trashy. You can find our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages in the description. So please, follow us. See you next time, cinephiles.